we'll get started. I'm just providing some sound decks.
Pretty good.
Whoa, wow, thanks.
Just so you know, we are going to have people taking pictures, and apparently NBC 15 local is here, so if you're not comfortable with your likeness being on camera, sit towards the back, which everyone already did anyways, but good job.
Get to church.
But yeah, people who are late have to sit up front, right? So yeah, so just so you know, that's happening, and if you do want to move around the back, feel free. Thanks, Eric. We'll be starting in like 5-10 minutes. You're doing great. It's great.
To this first inaugural Sunday Assembly here in Madison. We are so new, and this is such a grassroots startup that I am the band! Yay! If you've ever heard about Sunday Assembly before, you'll know this is a sing-along experience. And really, if I was you, since I'm going to be singing, I'd sing along out of self-defense. We've tried to pick some songs that you know, at least we hope you know. If you don't know them, sing along with your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't know them, please hum. If you can't hum, there's always the rhythm. But if you participate, it's going to be a lot more fun. So I think you'll know this. Let me get this tune.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Little darling, give me a chance to we're trying to follow with the form of the song. You know, some assemblies do karaoke, and to plan a YouTube video, and that can get kind of chaotic, especially if you're doing, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody or something wild and weird like that. I will try and cue you as much as I can. So, watch the poor guitar player. There. Good job. Excellent job, everybody. What is life without a little chaos? I'd like to know. And Inch by Inch is a great old classic that a lot of us grew up with. A lot of us had in grade school. We'll be doing the Pete Seeger version. Here we go. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow, gonna mulch it deep.
expect.
Thank you.
If people would really sing. You guys definitely sing. Hi, I'm Naomi Kroff, one of the co-founders here of Sunday Assembly Madison.
Take this one.
Okay. So glad you guys are here today. Thank you for coming. So exciting to see everyone coming out. Sunday Assembly Madison is not here to tell you what to think or believe or not think or not believe. Our goal is to provide you with thought-provoking content that is true and honest and factual, but also inspiring and fun and joyful and even silly sometimes. So with that in mind, we also want to start creating human connections and human relationships. We're here to try to build a community that we can use to springboard from out there to do great things both in the community and in the greater community that we all live in, but also a community to come back to when we need support and solace if life gets hard, or also to come back and celebrate when life is joyous. So I'm gonna make you guys stand up and introduce yourself to one of the people next to you who you don't know. The goal is to find out what kind of vehicle they drive, whether they drive a car or a bike or a skateboard or they take the bus. Just stand up with me, get some energy going, and introduce yourself to someone you don't know. Just take a minute. Parts as we go along, so that'll hopefully be fun. So next, I'm going to introduce our next speaker, who is Scott McAndrew. Scott is a Dane County Court Commissioner, which allows him to legally perform marriages, which is a really interesting superpower because it's a real superpower. And I'm sorry, this is going to be cheesy, but Andrew will tell us how, or Scott will tell us how with great power comes great responsibility. Scott, it's all yours.
Thank you. Wow, what a great crowd. This is great. I have the title of court commissioner in the Dane County court system. What that means is that I'm like a judge. Except that in my case, it's for littler things like small claims court and small criminal court matters. Hopefully, most of you haven't had the misfortune to meet me in that capacity. And I'm also a secular person, having been raised without religion. I think this is a great idea. And I got into this realm of secular weddings by virtue of my employment. For about 11 years, I was your standard lawyer in a law firm, and then got this job as a court commissioner in the year 2000. Part of being licensed as a court commissioner means suddenly I am also authorized to perform weddings, and I had colleagues and still have colleagues that do a lot of weddings you know, people who just want to get married in the courthouse and need to make it legal. But I started to, I never wanted to do just, you know, mail order bride weddings and, you know, those kind of things. But I started doing some for friends and friends of friends, and then I did one for my son's kindergarten teacher, which was kind of cool. And I thought it was really nice, and these were, of course, more traditional than your standard, you know, just go to the courthouse in 5 minutes and you're married. These were wedding ceremonies, but without any church part. And of course, probably all of us have been to a lot of weddings, most of which are also church services. So I thought this was kind of neat that, that you know, I was seeing an alternative, and they were every bit as touching and moving and also, of course, allow people to have choice in what kind of a wedding they want. And so I thought I would go a little bit. I did some very detailed research by consulting Wikipedia. And so just to give you a little background, in the United States, marriage is regulated by state law. And all states, as well as the District of Columbia, have their own specificities of their rules, but they all require a marriage license that is issued by local civil authorities. And generally, ministers of religion, such as rabbis or Christian pastors, are authorized to perform marriages. Other various state or local officials, like mayor, judge, deputy marriage commissioner, apparently one state calls it, or justice of the peace, are empowered to conduct civil wedding ceremonies, which may take place in public offices. In our case, we can do them anywhere. We can do them at the courthouse, we can do them at the Capitol. That's kind of a neat thing about it, is the variety of places that we can go and do ceremonies. Many counties in Pennsylvania allow self-uniting marriages for which no official minister is required. This is a concession to the state's Quaker heritage. In fact, Wisconsin has that little narrow exception too. We call the Quaker exception. The type of ceremony that you have, whether it's religious or civil, has no bearing on the legal validity of the marriage. There's no requirement to have a religious ceremony. And marriages that are performed outside the United States are legally binding if they are officially recognized by the government of the country in which they are performed. In most European countries, there is a civil ceremony requirement. And following the civil marriage ceremony, couples are free to marry in a religious ceremony. But such ceremonies only provide a religious recognition of the marriage, since the state's recognition has already been given. In some of these countries, like Belgium, the Netherlands, and Turkey, most couples marry without any religious ceremony at all. And full formal weddings, complete with wedding gowns and the presence of family and friends, are usually conducted in special ceremonial rooms in the town hall. There are also some countries where there is no civil marriage, sort of the opposite. Many Middle Eastern countries like Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Iran, Israel, marriages there are conducted by religious authorities, and they are registered by civil authorities only after having been registered by the authorities of officially approved religions. Egypt, Israel, and Lebanon all recognize Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. In many Arab countries, the majority of citizens are Muslim. This yields particular problems for those who are refused divorce by their spouses, or couples in religious traditions that forbid divorce altogether. Malaysia allows civil marriage for non-Muslims only, while in Kuwait, Bahrain, and Afghanistan it is allowed for foreign citizens only. So let's get back to the state of Wisconsin a little bit. In our state, marriage is a civil contract, and there are just two basic requirements to be married. One is to have a marriage license. The other is you have to have mutual declarations of the parties that they take each other as husband and wife, made before an authorized officiating person, and in the presence of at least two competent adult witnesses other than the officiating person. And I suspect that the husband and wife part of that is going to change relatively soon with the same-sex marriage and the way that trend is going. I think, well, so I mentioned that there needs to be an authorized officiating person. So then that gives rise to the question, who is an authorized officiating person? And the main categories in Wisconsin are either a member of the clergy, a judge, or a court commissioner, and then there's that Quaker exception I mentioned, if your religion specifically objects to having a third-party celebrant perform the wedding, which is, I think, pretty much only the Quaker religion, then you can, that's legally authorized. So that, of course, does not include what we would call a secular celebrant, and a secular celebrant would be a person designated to perform a wedding ceremony, otherwise called an officiant, who is not an ordained minister, priest, or other clergy member. And there is an organization in Amherst, New York, called the Center for Inquiry. Maybe some of you have heard of that organization. They're a secular activist organization founded by a man named Paul Kurtz, who died in 2012. And one of the things that they've done is to start a secular celebrant program to get people to go through a one-day training and to make them available to perform secular wedding ceremonies. And they've used their program and had quite a few people throughout the country go through that training. And so I attended one of those secular celebrant trainings a few years ago. Since then, I've been listed on their website, and I've had the opportunity to conduct some wedding ceremonies for people who found me that way and specifically wanted to have a non-religious wedding. Now, something unique to my situation is that I was already legally authorized to perform wedding ceremonies, whereas the others being trained as secular celebrants were not. So the CFI organization, of course, thought that was unfair and legally discriminatory to allow ordained clergy members but not secular celebrants to preside over weddings. They brought a lawsuit and they ended up winning that lawsuit, and now in the state of Indiana, a secular celebrant is authorized, just like a member of the clergy, to perform weddings. And I think that that's going to be a trend, probably, hopefully, that we'll be seeing in other states, based on the precedent of that Indiana case that was, I believe, decided by a federal court. So it's more likely that that's going to have some precedent over any if the issue comes up in other states. So back just a little bit to my personal experience. I think I already mentioned that having seen the church kind of be the vehicle for people to get married and how that was kind of the place people get married, I've enjoyed sort of doing a little bit of my part to provide an alternative option. So I thought I would just to give people some idea of how some of these weddings sound and feel, I would give you a couple of examples of readings that I've done at secular weddings, and you can find these, you know, various places around the internet, because basically it's, I leave it totally up to the people if they want to have, a stock civil wedding ceremony, that's fine. If they want me to say any particular type of thing, I usually just consult with them and meet with them beforehand, and basically we can customize it to whatever people want. But these are a couple examples of things I thought were kind of nice. Here's the first one. In marriage, two people turn to each other in search of a greater fulfillment than either can achieve alone. Marriage is a bold step taken together into an unknown future. It is risking who we are for the sake of who we can be. Only in giving of ourselves fully and sharing our lives with another can the mysterious process of growth take place. Only in loyalty and devotion bestowed upon another can that which is eternal in life emerge and be known. Two among us who have stood apart come together now to declare their love and be united in marriage. The words we say today have no magic or prophetic powers. The power of the wedding vows is merely a reflection of a reality that already exists in the hearts and minds of these two people. Nothing I can say or nothing you can say to each other will ensure a long and happy, satisfying, and committed marriage. Only your love for one another and your integrity to make your commitment real can do that. So that's one example. And then there was a reading that I particularly liked and incorporated in a ceremony recently by Edmund O'Neill from something he wrote called Marriage is a Promise of Love. And I'll read a part of that. Marriage is a commitment to live to the best that two people can find and bring out in each other. It offers opportunities for sharing and growth no other human relationship can equal, a physical and emotional joining that is promised for a lifetime. Within the circle of its love, marriage encompasses all of life's most important relationships. A wife and husband are each other's best friend, confidant, lover, teacher, listener, and critic. There may be times when one partner is heartbroken or ailing, and the love of the other may resemble the tender caring of a parent for a child. Marriage deepens and enriches every facet of life. Happiness is fuller, memories are fresher, commitment is stronger, even anger is felt more strongly and passes away more quickly. Marriage understands and forgives the mistakes life is unable to avoid. It encourages and nurtures new life, new experiences, and new ways of expressing love through the seasons of life. When two people pledge to love and care for each other in marriage, they create a spirit unique to themselves which binds them closer than any spoken or written words. Marriage is a promise, a potential made in the hearts of two people who love, which takes a lifetime to fulfill. So there's some examples of some things we might say at a secular wedding ceremony, but of course it's pretty much open. And again, I think the best thing about it is just to give people the choice that, you know, this is how they want to get married, this is what they want said at their wedding. And I have had no problems with anybody ever being offended if they've told me that I've said at one of these ceremonies, so I think it's gone pretty well. So that's all I've got. Does anybody have any questions? Or otherwise we will move on to the next speaker.
So when my husband and I got married, we wrote our own vows. And as I was telling the founding team last week, one of the vows we took for each other was, I promise to question your logic. Which will tell you a little bit about who my husband Brian and I are. Now, bring the energy up again. We're going to do another interactive section. You're going to meet your neighbors again. So introduce yourself to someone else you don't know, someone new, and ask them about their favorite ice cream flavor, or if you don't like ice cream, your favorite dessert, and if you don't like dessert, whatever your favorite comfort food is. I'll bring it all back in about a minute. Go.
Afternoon of musical chaos, we're going to do I Can See Clearly Now And there's a section towards the middle of it that I want to try and teach you. Here's the word. Now, we'll sing. Look all around, nothing but blue skies. You sing that twice, and then it's That's the first part. And the second part is It's real tough. It's real tough. So why don't we do the first part all together now? Amazing. Except about twice as long as that. So, here we go.
I can see clearly now the rain has come. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me by. Gone are the clouds.
Closing in on it. We've got a couple announcements, and then I get a chance to talk to you guys for a little bit, and then we'll have our closing song, and then it's tea and cake, or coffee and donuts, or $ baked goods. Announcements are mostly in your programs, and for folks who didn't get your programs, I'm sorry, there might be a few extra that folks turn in afterwards, so you can grab one. But in the program is a survey. The survey is important to us. If you guys have thoughts, ideas for future themes, speakers, music that you want to give us, fill it out, hand it in, or you can always email us. If you have talent, musical talent, or graphic design talent, or social media talent that you would be willing to donate to us for small amounts of times, let us know. Any other feedback about how we did, what we did well, what we didn't do well, share it with us either by filling out the survey or by emailing us at sundayassemblymadison@gmail.com. Other announcements, we have an events calendar listed inside. Next event on the 4th, the organizing team is going to be meeting to take stock of how today went. If you're interested in joining us, it actually won't be here. We're going to be meeting at my house. And so just if you want to come see how a service is put together, or you know, want to meet the founding team, or just come share your thoughts in person, feel free to email us so we know we aren't going to be invaded by everyone, but you're more than welcome to come. We also have a potluck coming up on October 17th. Bob and Barb Park are going to be hosting a potluck at their house, and the idea is to start just a regular circle dinner, I think is what it's called, where we potluck at each other's house around Madison. Great way to meet people in an informal setting. Eat good food. Again, please RSVP just so that we know we'll have enough space for everyone who wants to come. And then we're going to have a Sunday Assembly Madison After Dark event, which is kind of like an adults event, where we're going to win at trivia. And I'm going to go, but I'm bringing my brother, and so we'll balance each other out because I'm terrible at trivia, but he's freakishly good at trivia. So if you want to come join us, it's going to be at the Next Door Brewing Company. Trivia starts at 7, but we're going to start at 7:30, but get there at 7 so we can get our teams together. And then as many people show up, that's how many teams we'll get. So no RSVPing for that. And then our next meeting, every fourth Sunday is our goal to meet. So the next one is going to be Sunday, October 26th. We aren't sure where the venue is going to be. We might be here, we might not. We'll see what happens. So check the website for confirmation, or we'll blast it out there on Twitter and Facebook as we solidify the event. But October 26th, we're going to have John Rummel, the astrophotographer, talk about the amazing universe and share some of his beautiful photography with us. And then I think the last thing is donations. It doesn't take a lot of money to put on an event like this, but it takes a little bit. We rented this space here for $70. We had to get liability insurance, which was about $75. It took a little money for us to legally become a nonprofit in the state. And then our big wish list thing is we really want to become a tax exempt nonprofit. So any donations right now are not tax exempt because we can't afford to become tax exempt. That costs $400 to apply to the IRS. We think we meet all the attributes, but we don't have $400. So that's kind of what a savings fund would be for us. And then anything over and above what we need to do this monthly, we're going to put into the charitable arm of Sunday Assembly. That was the thing I forgot. If you want to help us build the charitable arm of Sunday Assembly Madison, we don't have that up and running yet. It's really important to us, and it's one of the next things we want to do. So if you also have ideas, want to get involved with starting up our charitable works, that would be great. The donation box will be by the food, or if you want to go online, we do have a PayPal account on there, so you can donate electronically. If you'd like, any little bit helps, and if you know you can't, you're still more than welcome to be here. Like I said, it doesn't take a lot for us to put this on. I think those were all my announcements. Okay, so this section was originally called the address, and I thought that was a little formal and a little heavy, and since I had control of the PowerPoint, I changed it because if I was gonna get up and stand in front of all of you, I'd be much more comfortable sharing my thoughts. That was a little more accessible, a little less imposing. So I don't know how many of you read the article, but on August 3rd, just about 2 months ago, there was a front page article about Sunday Assembly Madison published in the Wisconsin State Journal, and the headline reads, "A Church for Atheists. Yes, one is coming to Madison." And there's a full page, or there's a full color ad here, picture here of Eric and Bob and myself. And the founding team, we've been working since about February to get Sunday Assembly Madison up and running. But I had the sense, and I think other folks on the founding team had the sense that the front page article was going to be a milestone. It was going to be like a before the article and after the article type event. And we were working with Doug Erickson from the Wisconsin State Journal. Really great to work with. I was very happy with the article. Thought it came out fair and balanced and accurate. But originally we were going to be in just his spirit column, which is a recurring column of his that's published in Sunday Best. Not very big, but an interesting column. And that was fit exactly with who we were, what we wanted to do. And then a couple days after the interview, Doug got in touch with us and said, "Hey, we need to get better pictures. You might be on the front of the local section." And I said, "Okay, that's good. We're a Madison area organization. We want to get our name out there. There's, you know, this will be great. This is a good thing, right?" And then we got here to take the picture, and Doug said, "The editors are really into this story. You guys might make it on the front page." And again, I thought, okay, this is a good thing. No publicity is bad publicity. But I started to feel some anxiety about being on the front page with a headline like this. And you know, I think I had to make my husband reassure me on more than two occasions that he would still love me no matter what happened, which he did on more than two occasions. But you know, in order to try to like get on top of my emotions and what was going on, I started to do some introspection to figure out why was I so nervous about this. I realized there were a couple things going on. One, Google didn't know very much about me. If you were to have Googled me in July, you would have discovered that in 2009, I bought a house with my husband on the Near East Side of Madison, and you would have found my professional profile on LinkedIn. And that really would have been about it. I was not, and still am not, on Facebook. I had a Twitter account, but I had never tweeted in my life. I was really not participating in this greater social media landscape that exists out there. And I was comfortable with that. You know, I enjoyed the anonymity that I had in this big interconnected world that we live in, and I felt safe there. So that was part of it. The other part was I was making a commitment. suddenly, you know, Sunday Assembly Madison and I were going to be inextricably linked. The founding team and I had been working and working hard for over 5 months to get Sunday Assembly up and going. And we had an online Eventbrite RSVP page, and we had a couple dozen email addresses of folks who had expressed their interest and said they wanted to be here. We had reserved the space here at Prairie House. We were working our way through liability insurance questions. But somewhere in the back of my head, I was reassuring myself that we could still shut it all down if we needed to, that we could take down the Eventbrite RSVP page and cancel that, and we could send out a mass email to everybody who we had contact with and say, just kidding, Sunday Assembly Madison is not going to be a thing. Thank you for your interest. We'll see you around. But after a front page article, we were going to lose control of who knew about us, what they were telling other people about, and we would have no ability to roll it back. So after a front page article, I was going to be committed. The success or failure of Sunday Assembly Madison was going to reflect on me. And so I was also committing myself to quite a bit of work to make sure we succeeded. And I had a 15-month at home. I was just getting back into the working arena, and my husband was facing a prospective job change. And so the idea of committing myself to making this thing a success was a little nerve-wracking. Okay, so the moral of the story is all around you, is sitting next to you, is along the back, is standing. I'm sorry, guys. You know, for folks who didn't get a program, we didn't expect we would need more than 85 programs. So, you know, getting our name out there was great. And yeah, sure enough, Google has more to say about me now than it did back in July. And I got some strange comments and some uncomfortable comments from a few people. But that's all par for the course. That's what I was expecting. But the overwhelming majority of response I got from people was positive. People really excited that we were doing something like this. People saying, wow, I thought we needed this in Madison for so long. Or just people curious and wanting to know, oh, what's this going to be about? And just supportive, saying, yeah, go for it. I think it'll be great. And so people just came out of the woodworks with positive things to say. And then my fear about this being a lot of work, suddenly people started contacting me and offering to help. And people with like the perfect skill sets. I had a UW law professor get in contact with me and offer to walk me through the steps of incorporating as a nonprofit organization. I had a social media marketing guru get in contact with me and say, hey, I'd love to help you get your Facebook and your Twitter and your Tumblr up and running, things that, again, you know, I don't know anything about and I'm not good at. I had a woman who was a UW financial administrator for many, many years get in contact with me and say, hey, you want me to do some accounting work for you? You know, and she had the expertise and the experience and the skills that I did not have to do those things. And so it turned out that, yeah, it was still a lot of work, but because we put ourselves out there like this, we got a lot of help. And then the thing that happened that was really unexpected, the conversations that I started having with people in my lives, the discussion, the really thought-provoking and interesting back and forth with people about topics that you don't usually talk about, that are really taboo, even with friends and family members, things that you can't talk about spirituality and religion and your perspectives. And yeah, there were some agree to disagree type moments, but for the most part, really rewarding and really thought-provoking. And I now understand and appreciate perspectives, and I never would have gotten any of that information. I feel like I have such a wider breadth of knowledge now than I did, and I really wasn't expecting that. So, I mean, what I'm taking away from all this is, okay, have a healthy amount of fear, right? Be the right amount of nervous when you're setting out to do something like this, to take a risk, you know, analyze the situation, figure out, okay, what could happen? What are the realistic outcomes and are they going to be bad? Prepare yourself as best you can. Also, listen to people when they say things like, Naomi, this is not that big of a deal, calm down, because they might have a better vantage point than you do, so, you know, take that into consideration. But if, you know, it all comes out that I think this will be okay, whatever happens, we'll be able to get to the other side, just go for it, because this world and the people in it really have the capacity to surprise you and impress you, and in really unexpected ways, exceed your expectations, do more than you thought that they would or could. So what are my fears now for Sunday Assembly Madison, now that we've put all this work and you guys are here and I think we're really gonna be a thing? I have had some interesting conversations, and the same topic has come up a couple times, and I'm just gonna read the close of this article, because it hits on it a little bit. This is a quote from Dan Barker. Those values of community and love and charity that most religions promote are not really religious values at all. They're human values. Oh, and I missed the quote I really wanted. By modeling the assembly gatherings after those of church, the Sunday assembly runs the risk of implying that you still need someone else to tell you how to live. So that part about human community and social interaction, that's what we're trying to get at here. But the recurring theme that especially free thinkers kept coming to me with was that someone else telling you how to live peace. So I don't want this to be a pulpit. We're not here, like I said, to tell you what to think or believe or not think or not believe. You know, we're here to build that community, to be a place to springboard from and to do good. But something psychologically does happen when you're sitting in a space like this with someone like me standing up here talking to you. And I'm not just talking about in churches, but any venue like this that organizes itself like this, whether it's a church or it's our universities and our schools, our military, our political arena, you create a little space that can be abused, that, you know, can be misused, and the people here, you know, coming to this venue can be manipulated. So, what am I doing to safeguard against that? I'm saying this all out loud to you right now. I'm hoping that by bringing this up and being open about it, that you'll help me be mindful of that situation so that we don't let it happen. What's the other thing that we can do to make sure that this does not become a pulpit? Diversity. You know, we need diversity of themes, diversity of thought and background and experiences of music and discussion and speakers, stories. So, you know, if you guys are comfortable coming up here and speaking, telling a story, giving a reading, please do. I know not everybody will be, so if you're not, fill out the survey. Tell us what's good, what's bad, what was uncomfortable. And even if you don't want to go there, just talk to each other. Be, you know, communicative. Let us know what's going on. And I think as long as we do all of that, as long as we make sure I'm not the only one up here every month giving you my thoughts, but other people get a chance to share their thoughts as well, you know, we'll have managed the risk and we'll have, you know, honestly assessed what could go wrong and try to, you know, keep that in check. And then we'll still leave ourselves open to the world and the people around us surprising us and impressing us and exceeding our expectations in unexpected ways. So thank you so much for coming. We've got just one more song for Eric to wrap it up, and then we'll have the cake and the baked goods and the beverages. Again, thank you so much for coming. We worked really hard to get here. Tell us how we did, and pull aside anybody with the little name tags afterwards to talk to us. We'll be happy to tell you anything you want about Sunday Assembly and what we've done to this point. Thanks.
Before we do Home by Philip Phillips, I'd just like to say you guys have been a wonderful, welcoming audience, and I really appreciate your participation.